reunited and it feels so nice.
The Fosters are back together. I'm Lee Foster. Dr. Denise Foster is here, more importantly, from Hemp Haven Wellness. Now just below the Virginia-North Carolina border in Moyock at 726 Caratoke Highway, the new and improved Hemp Haven, new location, bigger and better. 252-340-3557, the phone number. Same old website, hemphavenwellness.com. She is open Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. And, of course, you can always check her out online, as I mentioned, hemphavenwellness.com, delivering and whatnot. Dr. D, welcome back to WNIS.
Happy pre-Independence Day Eve.
Yes,
freedom rings, and freedom is starting to ring in cannabis land.
It's been a minute. It's taken some time, but we're getting there, and that's why you always request "Ain't No Stopping Us Now" as the opening theme, because slowly but surely, things are going in the right direction.
Things are going very quickly in cannabis, and it's amazing that I'm going to open the show by talking states. We have such a dichotomy, contrast between Virginia and North Carolina, and now coming from Hemp Haven and the recent unpleasantness that we went through in Virginia, being kicked out and, you know, fined almost $500,000 and threatened with jail time because why? We're selling legal hemp products in Virginia. Well, not so much in North Carolina. So things are starting to heat up, and not just in the states, but also at the federal level. And then research is always interesting to me, of course, because as a cannabis nurse, that's where cannabis nurses live, is we live in the research, the evidence, so that we can implement that as our cannabis nursing practice continues to develop. And I'm getting so many inquiries from healthcare professionals, especially nurses around the Hampton Roads area, asking about my course, Cannabis 101, coming up in September. It's on Eventbrite. And this is where healthcare professionals, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but we're looking at healthcare professionals who are now tasked with understanding how these cannabis changes are going to affect our populations, our population's health, and our population's safety.
So if people want to get more information on that, of course, they can just go to the website, hemphavenwellness.com. How often do you do those courses, by the way? I'm just curious.
I do them twice a year now. I was doing them three times a year, but nobody likes to go to school in the summer. Come on now. So I typically offer, it's a six-week course, and like I said, it's on Eventbrite. It's called Cannabis 101, and it's a six-week cannabis nurse lecture series, and I offer it in January to February. This one is going to be offered between September 3rd to the middle of October, and it's an online course, so it's 100% online, and you get to attend class digitally, virtually. We love to talk about cannabis, and we always incorporate the latest research because it is just blowing up. The research and interest in cannabis and cannabinoids as a medicine, that's exactly why there's no stopping us, is because these pieces of research continue to show the positive effects, not only just as a medicine, but across social concerns as well, with mm-hmm. harm reduction as the number one concern. We want to make sure we're not going to make you any more unsafe. And with now over 20 years of legal cannabis sales, where's the reefer madness that we were all promised by the prohibitionists? It's not manifesting.
Quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. And the biggest prohibitionist and fearmonger is, of course, the Virginia's governor. Yes.
Governor sweater vest.
Yes. We're starting to see, right, the campaign, the election season's starting to heat up. This was published. I'm going to bring in an article here that was just published in the Virginia Business online. And this was a headline that said Virginia's future retail marijuana market likely depends on gubernatorial election. Of course, with Abby Spanberger and current Senator Aaron Rouse vying mm-hmm. for the lieutenant governor candidates, both of these candidates who are on the Democrat side are positive. And it is Abby Spanberger who actually wants to implement the cannabis adult sales that were accepted by law by Governor Northam in 2021.
Right.
Just as an overview, it's been Governor Youngkin who has vetoed twice a bill put before his desk just recently this year by Senator Aaron Rouse that would legalize adult sales. The projection had been that in 5 years, Virginia would have collected over $74 million in cannabis cannabis tax revenue to be used by the jurisdictions and reinvested into the communities. And so this is something that has been held up by the governor. And in fact, he has quoted as saying, anybody who thinks I'm going to sign that legislation must be smoking something. Well,
yeah, that's right.
Everybody, there's a lot of people smoking something there, Governor.
I forgot he said that.
You know, an irony here is that he cited concerns with the illicit market and harms to children with potential increases in crime and psychiatric disorders. Well, guess what? That comes from the illicit market. That comes from buying it in the back alleys where it is untested. It could be laced with something potentially dangerous.
Right.
It is not regulated. Dealers don't ask for age identification. His quote here is saying, attempting to rectify the era of decriminalization of marijuana by establishing a safe and regulated marketplace is an unachievable goal. Gosh. Unachievable goal. Well, guess what? Over 40 states, including Virginia, have achieved that goal.
Yeah.
They've achieved that goal. And so it's Governor Youngkin who says that the more prudent approach would be to revisit the issue of discrepancies in enforcement. He wants more enforcement. He wants more criminalization. And his go-behind, current Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, has not come out in favor either. And so when we think about the next election cycle, I'm not saying that you're a one-concern candidate, but this is what Virginia needs to know, is that it won't be till 2030 if this next governor does not incept these laws. So this is where we are getting, we as in Virginia, are getting left behind. Our neighbor to the north, Maryland, in May of this year, they set a new monthly marijuana sales record. They sold almost 500 million to date. And Maryland incepted their program just back in 2023. And in May of 2025, they brought in $102 million in sales, with many of that more than likely being captured as Virginians cross over into Maryland. This is a phenomenon that we're seeing where illegal states that do not have current legal adult or medical marijuana use, they are seeing their population cross over into the border states that do.
Yeah. That's what we're doing kind of with Hemphaven in a way.
That's exactly
right. You know what I mean? We're having, rather than my tax dollars going into Virginia, mm-hmm. I'm going down below the border to Moyock and my tax dollars are going to North Carolina. Because I like hemp tape.
We're no different now. So hemp and where I have products are federally legal under the Farm Bill, the 2018 Farm Bill.
Right.
But understanding how Virginia's approach to even hemp went above and beyond the federal regulations, which is their purview, that was taken to the Supreme Court, and it was ruled that Virginia does have the right, as under the Farm Bill, to make their own regulations on top of the Farm Bill. But you're seeing this this bonanza, so to speak, of how tax revenues are incredibly benefited by legal sales. Here's another report that just came out, as we now finally tallied how much across all of the United States in legal cannabis sales, legal weed has provided $24.7 billion with a B, dollars in tax revenue, where cities and states have allowed it to be sold. $24 billion is a lot of tax revenue, and we have seen it in different states. We have seen it where it is. We talked about this on the radio show over many years. We know that they use these tax revenues, for instance, for childcare programs, public school systems, transportation funds. One particular state, New York, 40% of goes to education, 20% to drug treatment, and 40% to community reinvestment. And in Vermont, their cannabis taxes go to support after school and summer programs, especially for the underserved areas. So what we're seeing is more and more states are starting to look at how this could impact their own revenues. This is why a new Virginia commission has been re-implemented. In Virginia, it appears that they are looking at a new regime change, so to speak, with cannabis one of the main topics, because it is legal. That's one of the hugest questions we get. We get this question all the time. People coming into Virginia or now North Carolina stop and say, I did my research. I'm coming from a legal state, and I read in Virginia it's legal, but there's nowhere to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You were been fooled, right? This is the, the bait and switch. Yes, right. It's legal in Virginia, but because the laws have not been implemented yet as written, they can't buy it in Virginia. You right. can grow it in Virginia, but you can't buy it in Virginia.
Right.
So with this new commission being implemented, it has been reformed, which is very interesting because under the governor's quote here is, if there's no goal, why are we reforming a commission to begin implementing sales? And we really are starting to see how states can now benefit from not only their population with decriminalization and now less law enforcement resources are being used for this. We also know that the tax revenues, this is where North Carolina is now starting to lead the pack. Moving to North Carolina was very scary, obviously. I'm a nurse. I'm not a business person, and I'm definitely not a lawyer. So all of this was very much over my head. But what I am is I am a cannabis nurse, and the research is incontrovertible, which is why, again, North Carolina we're finding out is the most cannabis friendly, especially hemp friendly in the country. We have had a very great reception in Moyoc. I'm very happy to see everyone who's now visiting us coming to us from Virginia. Appreciate the effort, but the community is now benefiting more than hemp because the North Carolina governor just a few days ago, June 4th, last month, suggested that regulating THC like alcohol is the answer. And what's interesting about Governor Josh Stein in North Carolina is that he believes that the terms marijuana and hemp have become irrelevant in today's world of manufacturing consumable goods infused with THC, while the better question is, will it get you high? This is our practice as cannabis nurses. In essence, Governor Stein is allowing, from his perspective, he's considering both hemp and marijuana similar because you can pull THC from both hemp and marijuana. And the question is, how much is going to get you high? And that's where cannabis nurses like me and the wonderful cannabis nurse team that we have and the whole team of CannaFam down in Hemp Haven, we exist to first educate our consumers and help you understand if you don't want to get high, that's good too, because we can keep you from getting high. And so what's interesting is that Governor Stein is advocating for safe access, safe use, lab testing, preventing convenience stores from selling you, terrible products and access to children. Because guess where most of your teens are getting this? From the illicit market. That is unregulated and unage-gated. And then they're going out and selling it to their friends. So it's interesting that North Carolina is taking the spotlight. Another thing that shocked me was a few days ago, there was a judiciary committee hearing in regarding the DEA, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI. And North Carolina retiring Senator Tom Tillis testified there. Mm-hmm. And it was his purview, it was his opinion that let me have a quote here, that the opponents of marijuana legalization have lost the fight to maintain prohibition. And that it's time for lawmakers to address that reality by creating a regulatory framework for treating cannabis in the same way that we do with alcohol and tobacco, so that states can set their own policies without federal intervention. So we have in the course of 30 days, we have a governor in North Carolina saying forming a task force to begin looking at legalization of adult sales. And we have Senator Tom Tillis testifying before the DEA, the FDA, the DEA, the DHS, and the FBI that marijuana should be legalized and regulated. If this is not a call, it is at least a momentum more states, even in places like Virginia that have been so backwards for the last 4 years, as cannabis has been held hostage by a particular administration, this is going to be difficult to continue to support. As we look at the numbers, we look at the evidence, we consider first and foremost harm reduction. We don't want your children using it. We don't want you getting fentanyl-laced cannabis. What would that purpose be? We don't have these concerns. When we regulate it, we provide safe access. And in our purview, in our role as cannabis nurses, our role is to educate these individuals, starting, it seems, with politicians.
Yes, stopping them from making arbitrary laws that are not based on science or reality.
It's not just based on
something,
science.
A number that sounded good in their head, and so that's what they went with.
The numbers are in Virginia are you have to have, according to the Virginia regulations for hemp, you have to have 25 parts CBD to one part THC. And at the end of last year, as that law was being implemented and vendors were beginning to roll out products that met those regulations, we began seeing individuals bringing products in with this and complaining that it was making them very sick. Because in order, I recall one particular gummy, an edible, that in order to have the 20 milligrams of THC in the gummy, they had over 300 milligrams of CBD in that same gummy. And these individuals were saying how sick this high dose of CBD combined with THC was making them. The THC is what we expect for you to have an intoxicating effect. CBD, however, it won't intoxicate you. But in high doses, it will create some nausea and vomiting. It may make you sleepy. We're worried then in our older population about balance and cognition, you know, thought processes. And these were the concerns that were being brought as Virginia rolled these regulations in. And when I pushed back at my Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services hearing, I said, who made this law? Who made this 25-to-1 ratio? Where did this research show that this was a safe ratio? And they couldn't tell me that. They said, we don't need to tell you that. You don't need to know that. And so when you look at the research and you look at how we are now moving into dosing phases of research and understanding protocols and algorithms from the perspective of harm reduction, we don't want you using 325 milligrams of CBD per day. That's a dosage that is more likely to treat a seizure disorder. A typical standard dose for CBD begins at around 25 milligrams of CBD to treat things benignly like anxiety or depression. And the evidence bears out that this is a safe dose at a very low dose of 25 milligrams, not 325 milligrams. So I feel bad for Virginia. Sorry, Virginia. I feel bad for the vendors in Virginia. No one spoke up for us, the hemp vendors. When I left Virginia last year, I was the 10th hemp business to go out of business because of these regulations. So you're right that the states that are bordering all of these illegal states, and now Virginia, especially in relation to the hemp laws, they are now having to travel out of state, and the tax revenues are now going to states other than Virginia.
And by the way, a moment ago when you were talking about all the tax revenue that the states that have legalized are getting, I can't help but think, you know, every penny counts. Every cent counts in the state budget. And right now the city of Norfolk is looking at closing 10 schools.
And Virginia Beach just raised their restaurant taxes
to
12%.
Right.
What are we doing in Virginia?
In Norfolk, you're going to have, I believe it's 5 elementary schools, and
That's
think the
sad.
Norfolk Technical Center is possibly on the chopping block as well, which is they teach skills there. You
so
know,
sad, because a majority of states reinvest in their communities with these tax revenues,
right.
And then one of the things that they do is they put it back into the school system, school lunch programs, school after-school programs, school transportation, new buses, drivers, new buildings. So when you
maybe just higher teacher salary because they deserve
higher
it.
Higher teacher salary.
Yeah.
All of this is becoming more and more apparent that prohibition and the arguments that prohibitionists like like our, the governor of Virginia, continue to use do not show in the research. And again, we're back to, we have over 20 years of legal cannabis sales starting in 1996 in California. Where is the reefer madness that we were all told that we would be, begin to experience when, and safety, right? Safety concerns. We're going to talk about how actually teen use in cannabis is actually on the decline. So that's coming up, and because we know that one of the things we need to keep safe are our adolescents and our children.
Yes, our young people. She's Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven Wellness, just below the Virginia-North Carolina border in Moyoc, 726 Carrotoke Highway, Route 168 in Moyoc. Again, 726 Carrotoke Highway. Her website, hemphavenwellness.com. You can order online, have it shipped to you. In many cases, you're still doing delivery, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so in many cases, you can have it delivered same day or next day. Phone number, 252-340-3557. And go see Dr. D and her crew at Hemp Haven. She is open Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. And then Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, she's open 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. More coming up on News Talk 790 WNIS. Have a question? 757-627-7979. Talk 790 WNIS. Dr. Denise Foster is with us from Hemp Haven Wellness, 726 Carrotoke Highway in Moyoc, just below the border. 252-340-3557 is her number, and hemphavenwellness.com is her website. Go see her or check out the website. And you know what? If you're a beginner, if you've always wanted to know more about CBD and THC and how these products work, or maybe how they interact with a health condition you may have or a medication you're taking or things of that nature, I can think of no better person to talk to than Dr. D and her team of cannabis nurses at Hemp Haven Wellness. She is totally fine, no matter how dumb you think your question is. I promise I have asked one dumber. So go see her at hemphavenwellness.com or 726 Carrotoke Highway in Moyoc. Dr. D, we got to talk about teen use, which is down.
Teen use.
In places where they legalize, teen
exactly
use goes
right.
down.
That's right. Again, we're looking at the evidence, not the the hyperbole. Back to this understanding that we gather data, and we see that in Austin, 19 of the 21 states where we assessed for 10 years in states that have legalized, we see that teen use is decreasing. And why is that? Because dispensaries and access is limited when we ID those coming in to buy it. They looked at a survey of 9th, 10th, and 12th graders to see where they were in their access to marijuana. And what they found was in the 9th grade, it's down 40%. In 10th grade, it's down 46%. And in 12th grade, it's down 28%. So overall, it has dropped from access at 10th graders per se at 68% down to 41%. So we're starting to see the legal market is really showing how to roll this out as we do alcohol and tobacco. So we're back to understanding why Governor Stein in North Carolina is saying, if you can't beat them, we're going to have to begin regulating and make sure that it's safe and not accessible to high school students, because we don't want your kids using it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Dr. D, Hemp Haven, let's talk to Tom in Portsmouth, who's on WNIS now. Hello, Tom. How are you?
All right. How are you? Hello, doctor.
Hello, Tom.
I'm a 64-year-old heart failure patient who grew up in the 70s, and I recently tried some product here in Virginia, and when I stopped, I felt I had several mini panic attacks, and I good old chat GPT and said that's a potential. Can you speak to that at all?
Yes, Tom. The problem with marijuana is that it's too inappropriately high in THC, and pun intended, no pun intended. Marijuana has been cultivated now for its potency, and people who use marijuana like it for its potency, and they beat the drum, and I want potency, I want high potency, I want 20%, I want 40%, I want 60%, and some concentrates. This is not what is driving a pleasant effect with THC. And so, Tom, it sounds like you are using products, cannabis products, that are essentially too high in THC. I mentioned earlier the research that's coming out as far as dosing protocols. We now know that 5 milligrams of THC is what we would assign a standard dose, a standard unit dose at which most people will begin to feel the effects of cannabis. Now we take into the equation how you use it. Smoking it is going to create the most concentrated, quickest effects because it's a vapor, it's a gas. And the problem with a marijuana joint, let's say it's a 1 gram joint, which are typically your what you buy at the dispensaries.
Sure.
Depending on that potency, again, it can range anywhere between 10% up to 50, 60%. You might be looking at a 4 grams of THC all the way up to over 100 grams. I'm sorry, milligrams. So when you think about the THC potency, this is what drives the impairing, intoxicating effects. And those who are sensitive, especially our older population, don't like that because it gives them anxiety. It gives them that panic attacks. You would be best served, Tom, by using a low THC product, for instance, coming from hemp, where we can gauge your THC level because we know exactly how much. Our products are lab tested in the hemp world, and now we can keep you at that 5 milligrams or less. We call this a microdose. So if you're Willie Nelson, a microdose won't work. If you're Tom and you're sensitive, you need something less than 5 milligrams, and you're not going to get that in marijuana.
What do you think, Tom?
It's tough getting old, I guess.
Yes, it is.
Well, that was helpful. I appreciate your information. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Tom. Have a good July 4th holiday, my friend. It is News Talk 790 WNIS. More with Dr. Denise Foster. What else is in the news?
Just to come off of Tom, one of the most important pieces of research that has come out recently is the fact that low-dose cannabis is actually beneficial for the middle-aged and older brain. This was based on information taken from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, where they surveyed adults over age 65 and older who are now using legal cannabis in their respective states. So they found that the daily use is at 34% for women and 39% for men. And most older users between 50 and 60 years old are turning to cannabis for pain reduction and arthritis and injury. And they report, this population reports, that there are fewer side effects based on compared to their prescription drugs. What's interesting here is that they found that when they surveyed those 60 to 88 years old, using cannabis, using marijuana, they found that older adults are significantly seeing greater neuronal connections, neuronal communications in the brain, the neurons in the brain, and that is improving their cognition and memory. Hello, specifically working memory. So this is all coming off of the understanding that we are not giving people like Tom high doses of THC.
Sure.
We're recommending low doses. And they found that daily stimulation of the cannabinoid receptors using this low dose THC formulation decreased brain inflammation in the older adult, which then significantly improved the old brains and improved learning and memory. The problem with marijuana is that it is high in THC. And we are just seeing over and over again how doctors and even at the federal level, for instance, let's get into this one. Just a few days ago, the federal House, has voted to let VA doctors recommend medical marijuana to military veterans. This was monumental in the cannabis industry because we now have the first federal institution, the VA, the Veterans Administration, who up to this point has allowed their veterans to use medical marijuana, but they couldn't comment on it.
Right. It's still federally
illegal.
Yeah.
The Schizophrenic United States of Cannabis says at the federal level, marijuana is still federally illegal, despite the government holding the patent on it as medicine. So we can't square that circle anymore. And now the House of Representatives has approved amendments to a spending bill that would authorize the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs doctors to issue medical marijuana recommendations to military veterans. This is because over and over again, marijuana, cannabis per se itself, has shown that it helps veterans, especially in PTSD. And the quote here is that veterans need to have options outside of narcotics and other psychiatric antidepressant, anti-anxiety drugs.
In other words, we don't need more pills. We need less.
They need to have that ability when they are seen by their primary cannabis physician inside the VA to have discussions about whether cannabis is or is not right for them because they have access to it in their state. This is going to be huge because I keep reminding people that, yes, marijuana legalization is coming. We don't know what that looks like. But I also predict that it's going to take 2 or 3 years because we first need to do something like this. Get a federal administration, a federal bureaucratic institution like the VA to begin changing its stance. And this is something I 100% approve of. This is also something that doctors groups are starting to pay attention to. A doctors group called the Doctors for Drug Policy Reform. It's a group of doctors have called on all healthcare professionals who are willing to lend their voice to advocate for access and decriminalization of marijuana. And this is all based on harm reduction. And again, this is why we're seeing more people around Hampton Roads. And actually, because my course is online, I'm seeing this around the country. They're starting to want to learn from the perspective of research and evidence how this can be implemented safely into a medical treatment program. And that's what we're all about at Hemp Haven, is cannabis nurses, making sure that you understand. And we know that there are drug-drug interactions with pharmaceuticals.
And it also makes sense, too, I guess, that the VA is a logical place to start, since so many people who use cannabis are veterans. That's one of the biggest percentages of people who come into your shop, for example, Hemp Haven Wellness. It's veterans, people who are of a certain age or older. It's not, I think the stereotype is that it's mostly young people using cannabis and doing so irresponsibly. At least that would be the prohibitionist stereotype, but that's not the case, as we've heard on past shows.
That's right. And this is where not only are people using it to be treating illnesses or injuries, and we're seeing this more and more as more people become affected by the COVID infection or the COVID injection. Here's a report that just came out that came out. What was this? This was a telehealth platform called NUGMD, N-U-G-G-M-D. These are institutions that are there to support education and access to practitioners who can recommend marijuana. They found that in this population, when they surveyed those seeking advice about and why they want to use marijuana, 8 in 10 marijuana consumers use it as a substitute for prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. This is by far the number one reason that people come in for our free consultation services with a cannabis nurse, is they say, I want to get off these pharmaceutical drugs, these drugs that I've taken for decades, these drugs that haven't done anything but given me adverse effects. And of course, to treat the adverse effects, I need to take more drugs. And it becomes just a merry-go-round of medicine. And nobody, I dare you to find somebody who comes off a medicine that is used for a chronic disease. You're not going to find anybody. So more individuals are not only using cannabis to treat problems, they're also using it to substitute. And this is why cannabis pharmaceuticals are now moving into the industry. Don't kid yourself. Recall that Marinol I started administering Marinol to my patients in the 1980s when I was a home health nurse treating the AIDS crisis patients that I saw. Marinol is synthetic THC, and it was approved by the FDA in 1985 for the treatment of chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. Well, with all the research coming out about how all the other cannabinoids, including THC, can provide wellness benefits and disease treatment benefits, the cannabis pharmaceutical market global forecast is that it is going to reach $4.83 billion by 2030. So within 5 years, cannabis synthetics are going to be implemented into the FDA regulatory landscape. This is something that is just amazing as we're watching this process unfold. Right now, the argument is, where is cannabis going to end up? Schedule 3 seems most likely, and at Schedule 3, only your doctor is going to be able to write a prescription for it. No home grow, no access to a recreational dispensary.
Ah.
Uh-huh. So as we consider how the pharmaceutical and biotech firms are collaborating on proprietary synthetic cannabinoid derivatives, we're seeing this shift to where the window over there is starting to close. And what's another interesting survey here is based on the pharmaceutical companies. This was a survey that came out just a few days ago in the annual Shift Pulse report that looks at workforce management and how employees are in their workplace. They found that the number one unhappiest sector among American hourly workers are those in the pharmaceutical industry. Pharmaceutical employees are not too happy, rivaled only in a close second by Postal Service workers.
Wow. Okay.
Doctor's offices, outpatient care centers, and other hospitality services were also in the mix. But guess who are the happiest employees in the United States? Cannabis industry workers. 92% of marijuana industry workers are the happiest in any job sector in the United States, despite all of these challenges. Happy cannabis workers make for, we're here to help you understand and keep you safe. We're not here to lace our products with fentanyl. We're here to help you understand how to use this safely and appropriately. And this is another reason why I'm going to morph here into another one, where marijuana legalization is now putting pressure on the alcohol industry. According to the CEO of Jack Daniel's and Woodford Reserve, two very popular alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
And now the alcohol industry is starting to see a dent. Believe it or not, the products that we sell in North Carolina, especially the beverages are very, very popular. We've talked before about how the alcohol industry last year experienced a 44% decline in sales. And now my hemp-derived beverages that I'm getting in North Carolina are being distributed to me by alcohol distribution networks.
Yeah,
remember,
right.
Remember Governor Stein saying we need to move this into the alcohol industry? I might be looking at getting an alcohol license in the future. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. This could be something that saves the cannabis industry. And now look at even Jack Daniel's and Woodford Reserve are looking into it.
Yeah, we've seen all sorts of alcohol companies who are now developing products to compete with this. I remember we talked about Molson Coors at one point.
Yes.
Getting in on this, which is one of the largest.
Sweetwater.
Sweetwater's another one, yeah.
Shock Top has now entered the picture, the outfit that owns Shock Top. A very popular IPA. When we see how alcohol is looking across the aisle going, what's going on over there in cannabis? And how can we get involved in this? Because more and more Americans are starting to unlike alcohol. We know it's harmful. Our Surgeon General earlier this year said it's poison, and it is poison. And, of course, how many alcoholic do we have in the United States, and how many drunk drivers do we have? How long has that battle been going on?
You know what's funny? We were just talking about this past Saturday on Virginia Eats and Drinks with Patrick Evans-Hilton. The theme of the show that week was non-alcoholic beers. And he was talking about how there has been a surge of manufacturers creating NA beers simply because people are getting tired of the effects of alcohol and how gross they feel the next day and whatnot.
The hangover effect.
Yeah, the hangover effect. That rise of NA beers is kind of going along with what we're seeing.
The mocktails. California Sober. Yeah. You get a great night's sleep. You have some aches and pains that go away. You don't have a hangover effect. You're not praying to the porcelain god. Your liver is thanking you. And all of this comes from the fact that we now have in our dispensary, we have a variety of drinks available, ranging from very low CBD drinks all the way up to, we got a cannabis spirit for the first time. Again, a cannabis spirit can only be distributed by alcohol. And it's called Howdy Hooch. It's made in Texas, and it's your Fireball.
Yeah.
It's THC Fireball. This is why another poll has just shown that 70% of Americans support allowing marijuana use at casinos and resorts. And sports fans, NFL, NBA, MLB, tennis, golf, PGA, NASCAR, they're all welcoming these types of products at their events.
Yes.
And this is something that, again, is going to become a popular option where you don't want to have to drink alcohol all the time.
Yeah.
The research is just amazing. And speaking of, let me go ahead and switch to research. I see that we're running out of time. I really am invested in the research because that's where we get our knowledge to help our community. And we've had a few very important research studies come out about breast cancer. The first one, it came out in the Journal of Molecular and Cell Biology of Lipids that showed that in a breast cancer estrogen receptor positive, the minor cannabinoids known as CBDV, CBG, CBC, and CBN all were effective at killing, decreasing, causing cell death of the estrogen positive breast cancer cells. This is another anecdote that has now been supported through evidence that these minor cannabinoids that have no intoxicating, no impairing effects and will not cause any high feeling, this should be part of every breast cancer regimen. And this has been supported now in this other study that has come out just in a few weeks ago in the European Journal of Pharmacology that says CBN, cannabinol, a non-impairing, non-intoxicating compound, paired with a chemotherapy agent, gave a better effectiveness at killing breast cancer than just the chemotherapy alone. We also now have new novel ways of delivering it. We have a new oral buccal nanoparticle formation for advanced cancer, meaning that you don't have to smoke it. We don't want you smoking it if you have it cancer. We now know that we can give you like a spray in a nanoparticle formulation of CBD, CBN, THC, and it is going to give a wonderful effect in the body. At the same time, we also know that we can deliver CBD through a dry inhaler. And this is a study that just came out in the International Journal of Pharmaceutics that put CBD in a medical grade inhaler to treat COPD, and it showed that it treated it especially well in obstructive diseases like asthma and COPD. The last one I'm going to throw at you is a weird one because we now are looking at CBD and CBDV, the one that I just mentioned about breast cancer just a minute ago. These two compounds have shown an incredible activity against fungus. Fungus as an athlete's foot?
Sure, yeah.
But in this case, they looked at a very aggressive fungal infection called Cryptococcus neoformans. This is a fungus that's very difficult to get rid of. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. Well, these two compounds, CBD and CBDV, killed the Cryptococcus fungal infection. Hmm. How can we make it any more clear that cannabis is medicine?
Yeah. It works on everything, doesn't it?
And you don't have to use THC.
Yeah.
So right. I missed our caller that was asking about our products. You can find them online, and we love talking about them and giving you what you need, starting with education.
Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven Wellness, 726 Caratoke Highway in Moyock, North Carolina, right below the Virginia, North Carolina border. Her phone number, 252-340-3557. She's open Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. We got closed tomorrow
close
for July 4th.
Closed tomorrow for the July 4th.
We'll allow you to have one day off for a hot dog and a brat. And maybe a steak. But usually Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. And you can order on online. Have it shipped to you. Have it delivered to you. HempHavenWellness.com is that website. Dr. D joins us on the first Thursday of each month at 6 o'clock here on Ask the Expert. So she'll be back with us Thursday, August 7th on News Talk 790 WNIS. Real quick, anything else we should mention or just go cannabis?
Come see us for our free nursing cannabis nurse consultations, and we'll get back to this Cannabis Nurse Truth podcast at the end of the summer.
That's right. That is coming back, too. So if you're a fan of the pod, CannabisNurseTruths.com, that is coming back at the end of the summer, too. HempHavenWellness.com. Thank you, Dr. D.
Thank you all. Happy 4th.
The preceding program was sponsored and paid for by Hemp Haven, who's entirely responsible for its content.